Turning to the new report now from the Pentagon about unidentified flying objects.
In a distant corner of our own galaxy, a planet that could have an atmosphere with molecules that on Earth only come from life.
Now, next on Outside Source, we're going to learn how a global team of astronomers have announced they found what could be evidence of life elsewhere.
An extraterrestrial ocean on a distant world.
Navy pilots have seen them.
My gosh!
Could this faraway world be home to life?
K2-18B.
Well, today NASA revealed they have appointed a new director of research into what they call unidentified anomalous
phenomena. They are being piloted by some mind-body connection.
Well, there may be some type of life
on Venus. And
they
found traces of
now
a significant
molecule. Scientists have found the strongest evidence yet that a planet...
It tilted up about 45 degrees. And then it shot up.
That's when the soldiers reportedly spotted
spacecraft
a quiet soul.
Is expected to blast off from Florida on the hunt for those signs of life on
and all 21 mysterious objects were seen near national security.
It's growing. It's teeming with life.
Around 4 billion years ago, this planet consisted of rocks, water, an atmosphere, and not a lot else. Then one day, something happened. And this was no longer a place of just solids, liquids, and gases. Suddenly, there was something else. There was something that sensed, that grew, that sought and used energy in its environment, and crucially, it was something that replicated. And once it started doing this, things changed forever on this third rock from the sun. Life. This once barren world transformed into a place with cells, viruses, bacteria, soil, plants, head lice, ants, spiders, fishes, dinosaurs, whales, snakes, otters, elephants, monkeys, kangaroos, giraffes, people, tools, buildings, trains, movies, aeroplanes, spaceships, computers, radio shows, and eventually you. And to the best of our current knowledge, this place, this planet, Earth, that you're currently residing upon is the only place in the universe where this has ever happened. But can that be true? Could there be others? In 1961, one of the many, many trillions of life forms on this planet, a human being named Frank Drake, was contemplating this possibility when he conceived of his Drake equation.
The Drake equation is the idea of what you would need to know to figure out if there are civilizations out there that we could spot. My name is Lisa Kaltenegger, and I'm the director of the Carl Sagan Institute at Cornell University. When you're trying to figure out how to find life in the universe, there's a lot you need to know, and it helps if you can quantify this. So one of the questions you would have is, how many stars are there in the first place? How many of those have planets? How many of those could have planets with life, and so on? So the Drake equation is exactly that, the framework you need to figure out how many civilizations could be out there.
The equation reads as follows. N equals R by FP by NE by FL by FI, by FC, by L. And what that means is that N, which is the number of civilizations in our galaxy with which communication might be possible, can be calculated by multiplying the average rate of star formation in our galaxy by the fraction of those stars that have planets, by the average number of planets that can potentially support life per star that has planets, by the fraction of planets that could support life that actually develop life at some point, by the fraction of planets with life that actually go on to develop intelligent life, by the fraction of civilizations that develop a technology that releases detectable signs of their existence into space, by the length of time for which such civilizations release detectable signals into space. Suffice to say, it is a complicated calculation. And when Frank Drake wrote all this down for the first time, the appropriate values for each part of that equation were all speculative. We didn't know the answers. And this was reflected in the fact that on their first attempt, Drake and his colleagues arrived at the rather inexact conclusion that there were probably somewhere between 1,000 and 100 million planets with civilizations that we could conceivably make contact with in the Milky Way galaxy. The usefulness of the Drake equation, though, was not in the solving, but rather in the contemplation of all the various concepts which scientists would have to incorporate when considering the question of life elsewhere. Almost 70 years on, it remains of seminal importance as a roadmap of what we need to learn in order to solve the fundamental question of whether or not we are alone in the universe. It has also formed the backbone of astrobiology as a science. Perhaps most excitingly, though, we may now be reaching a point where we're on the verge of filling in some of the most interesting and important parts of that equation.
One of the big questions is, how often does life evolve in the first place? And here it's kind of really interesting because depending on who you talk to, you can be a pessimist and say it's one in a billion, or you can be an optimist and say, like, well, if all the ingredients are there, why wouldn't it start? And right now, we at this amazing time in history where we can find the answer. It's not a discussion over a bottle of wine anymore. It's actually a discussion that has a scientific answer that, yes, we'll still have to wait for a couple of years because the signal is small and hard to interpret, but we're at the stage where we can figure it out.
Do you really think that we might come across life through a telescope or some technological means in our lifetime?
Even though we have the James Webb Space Telescope, this is only possible at the edge of technical possibilities. If life is everywhere it can be, and if it's in a stage where we can actually identify it, right? And then it's close enough for my telescope to get enough light from that planet to read it. So there's a lot of ifs, but for the first time ever, the possibility exists.
And that possibility is at the forefront of the research of so many scientists around the world as they try to answer this question. And Ireland is no different in this regard. Consider for a moment the fourth parameter in the equation. This is FL, the fraction of planets that could support life that actually develop it at some point. How many worlds even clear this first hurdle? Well, in order to answer that, you first need to know how we got started here on Earth. And to figure that out, I found myself in a DCU car park on a rather dark and drizzly day with Associate Professor in Biogeochemistry and Astrobiology at Dublin City University, Sean Jordan.
Hello.
Hi, John.
How's it going, Sean?
How are you?
Nice to meet you. I'm good, thanks.
Good.
It doesn't seem like the sort of place where life might begin. a dank car park in DCU in Glasnevin. Where are we going?
Upstairs. I'll take the lift.
Sean is an astrobiologist, but before we consider life elsewhere, what exactly do we know about the environment and chemistry that was needed to spark life here on Earth? Welcome back to Is There Anybody Out There?, our future-proof special on the Drake Equation and our search for life elsewhere in our galaxy. My next port of call was the Fitzgerald Building in Trinity College Dublin, where I met astrophysicist Johanna Voss.
Hi, Johanna.
Hey.
How are you?
Nice to see you.
How's it going?
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you again.
I thought the physics building was much louder than I thought at 8 p.m.
Yeah, me too. It's absolutely awesome. The physics AGM is in here.
Having scrambled our way up a few flights of stairs past some quite excitable physics students, we found ourselves on some rickety steps leading up to the roof of the building.
Oh, you have a nice view of Trinity outside. Sun is setting. This is perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous evening. Perfect. I don't think I've ever seen it like this. And here is our Monk telescope.
On the roof of the Fitzgerald Building in Trinity, housed in a small dome, is a Meade LX200 telescope. It's an impressive piece of kit, and with it we can spot other candidates for life in our solar system, like Venus or the moons of Jupiter.
Oh, wow. I've seen this in photographs. I've never seen it in real life. That is so cool. So I'm looking down the eyepiece and I can see a white planet with two large stripes across it. It looks like a pool ball. And five moons. What am I looking at? What are these moons? Maybe it's just a speck of dust in the
yeah.
Maybe I've invented a moon. I found a new moon. Do I get to name it?
Though sometimes it's probably better to leave the observations to the experts.
Oh my God, it's absolutely beautiful.
And there have been tantalizing findings in recent years within our very own solar system, including the detection of some rather unexpected molecules in the atmosphere of Venus.
Yeah, so phosphine and also ammonia were, there's recent detections of both of these molecules in the atmosphere of Venus. And this is something we didn't know already. So often when I hear this as an exoplanet scientist, I'm just thinking, if we don't know what's going on in the atmosphere of Venus, what am I even doing? But anyway, I think it's exciting. I mean, so, you know, both of these molecules on Earth are signatures of life, either kind of microbial life or industrial life. That's not necessarily the case for Venus, to be honest. I think Venus is an extremely volcanically active planet. It's 500 degrees. It's a very different situation than we have here. So, you know, if we kind of build our chemistry models, we don't predict that those molecules are there, but we might have just left some process out. However, it's really interesting to go after, you know, the reason, what is causing this ammonia and phosphine, because they are potential biosignatures for sure. And I guess the thing I think is that if we're looking for ammonia and phosphine on exoplanets, and we can't even figure out what the cause of it is in Venus, like, we're not doing too well. So either way, like, whether we figure out that it's from the volcanoes or something else, it's definitely worth really digging into and figuring out what's behind them. Potentially it is life, but, you know, it's a pretty huge claim to make. So you want to be absolutely sure before you say something like that.
Do you believe we're alone in this solar system?
I think in the solar system, it's crazy that we don't know the answer to that question yet, right? I think there's possibly life within our solar system in the kind of moons around gas giants. Even there's this potential for Venus, but any life within our solar system will definitely be microbial, tiny, very difficult to detect, but people are definitely looking.
Do you think we are alone in this galaxy, though? I mean, is it your guess when you look at the Drake equation, you figure out the numbers, is it likely that we are alone in this galaxy, given how huge it is?
Yeah, I think it's very unlikely that we are the only forms of life in the Milky Way. When you think of just the sheer scale of our own Milky Way, there's about 100 billion stars. We now know that each of them has a planet orbiting, at least one planet orbiting. And so it's, as I said, it's kind of the first part of the Drake equation we know are quite common, and it's kind of working our way down. I guess the question is, would there be intelligent forms of life, which we really don't know? And that's why people have kind of broadened this search just from, I guess, Drake's initial equation was looking for intelligent signs of life. And now we've kind of broadened it to be any signs of life, because then you don't have that problem of trying to catch them when they're sending radio signals to you. But yeah, I would be very, it would be more surprising if we looked and found nothing, I think.
Which is a crazy thing to actually say out loud.
Yeah.
So realistically, if we must look outside of our own solar system for complex multicellular life, how do we even begin that task?
We already know that one out of five stars has a planet that could be like ours. But now, how do you get to the next step to figure out if they really are like ours? So what we do at the Carl Sagan Institute, we basically put together the toolkit to answer that question, to try to figure out what the signs are that we need to be able to spot with our telescope to say yes or no.
So these are signatures of life that come from a planet that we can detect from many light years away?
Absolutely. The distances in the cosmos between stars are vast. If you take our sun and the planets and then shrink it in your mind's eye to the size of a cookie, then the next star over is about 4 football fields away. So it's far away. But light travels the universe. And so by catching the light, it's a messenger, and signs of life are encoded in the light you can catch from another planet. And that's exactly what we are now catching with the James Webb Space Telescope, the light from other planets. And we have to figure out what the signs are that would tell us that there's life out there.
Which brings us to our next part of the Drake equation, Fi. The fraction of planets with life that actually go on to develop intelligent life. It's pretty hard to imagine an intelligent microbe, so this likely necessitates the development of complex life. I started this program thinking that the certainty of life was just guaranteed, that our universe is filled with living things, intelligent and embryonic. But as we've progressed through Frank Drake's equation, the further I go down the line, the more unlikely it seems to me now that life is everywhere.
Yeah, I suppose, again, it comes back to how you define life. So I would probably be optimistic in that life is everywhere. I wouldn't be surprised if we find life on Mars. I wouldn't be surprised if we find life on the icy moons in our own solar system. These are good places to look. Intelligent life is just such a big ask. And why haven't we heard from them yet? Also, maybe we're the first. So that's why we haven't heard from anyone else yet. And we have to wait. We won't be around for it. But then there's just the distance and the laws of physics. We just may never be able to contact them. So that's just so much more improbable compared to single-celled organisms.
You're looking at these fossil records of microbes from billions of years ago. How exciting would it be for you to categorically be able to identify on a sample from not Earth a fossil of a microbe? How much would that mean to you and your work?
I think it would be completely game-changing, you know? I think the idea that we're not the only life in the solar system, the universe, the idea that our planet is not the only planet that can host life, I think that's massive. People shouldn't underestimate the importance, I think, of a microorganism. You know, they're pretty special in their own ways. We live with them every day. And yeah, just life existing elsewhere, I think, is completely mind-blowing.
What about if we had oxygen, methane, ammonia and phosphine, all detectable in the atmosphere of a planet? Is there any combination of geology or physics that we know of today that could explain that, apart from life? Would that be our smoking gun?
So if we found all of those molecules in the atmosphere of an exoplanet, every single astronomer would start pointing their telescope at that planet, for sure. But again, I don't think it's going to be one observation, or, you know, there's going to be a detection and then I would say years of very in-depth modeling to rule out any other cause. So yeah, again, we still don't have this kind of like smoking gun biosignature yet.
In the 64 years since Frank Drake wrote up his equation, we have undoubtedly made some incredible progress. Some of the values have been filled in and others vastly rounded down. Perhaps we're on the verge of an answer to one of our most pressing human questions. Are we alone in this universe? The answer could come not just within our lifetime, but within a matter of years. It's an incredible thought. Just how close are we? And what would it mean if we found out we weren't alone?
One out of five stars has a planet that could be like ours. And the ingredients that make life on the Earth are abundant in the universe. So I would say, wouldn't it be the biggest surprise if we find nothing?
If I read a headline saying life has been discovered on Mars or somewhere else, it would have huge implications for the way humankind regarded itself. We have, I suppose, a narcissistic view that we are special, but perhaps we're not special at all.
All we need for life really is a certain kind of amount of organic compounds like carbon and a bit of heat. And does that exist elsewhere? Yeah, of course it does.
I was driving across down O'Connell Street and I saw a meteor literally going across the skyline. It was the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. And for a second I did go, ooh, is that a UFO?
There's this paradox where if they're not there, why haven't we heard from them? But it would strike me that time and space is so vast that the chances of there being nothing else are close to tiny.
I think there'd be sheer panic. I would probably think it was an April Fool's joke of some description. I'd have to check the date.
I'd say almost certainly there's life elsewhere in the universe. Statistically, there kind of has to be. I'd say there's probably even life somewhere in our solar system.
I think it would probably just prompt a whole range of other questions. If this is what we know exists, then what don't we know about?
I like to think it would immediately lend us a completely different perspective on our place in the world. And on some level, I would like to think the type of kind of petty skirmishes that actually translate to full-scale horror in places like Ukraine or Gaza might just evaporate overnight if suddenly we had that sense of perspective.
If there were life in the TRAPPIST system, and it's at a stage where it leaves unique signs, then within the next 3 to 5 years, we'll find it.
That's pretty cool.